If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Yo, 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 welcome to What's Up There podcast. I am your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. You know the vibration is high on this side. I talk to everybody in the culture that has a voice. I'm instrumental in understanding the ingredients, right? So what I'm doing right now today is I pulled up on somebody that has built themselves a well-oiled machine. Adam 22, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, living, my guy. Chilling, man.
Just chilling, brother. I appreciate you having me in the compound. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We only been in here maybe like 2-3 months at this point. We were in like a much, much smaller space and just kind of had to make the decision to go all in and buy this shit. So that was probably the biggest purchase I ever made in my life. And it seems like it's paying off. You know, we're like a lot more productive in here, a lot more room for all the employees to be able to work, be able to record, you know, 3-4 pieces of content at the same time. So it's definitely helping us get going to the next level.
Right. How smaller was the spot before here in comparison?
Spot before was probably about like this wall to that wall.
Seriously?
I mean, maybe a little bigger, but it wasn't like, it was much smaller. It was like two small ass rooms. But we've had 5 spots over the years. Started in the back of a bike shop. Then we moved to the back of a slightly bigger bike shop. Then we got a separate space on Santa Monica Boulevard. And then we got like another spot in the valley. And then this is our new one that we realistically probably would be at for like at least, you know, 4 or 5 years or something like that.
Right. I mean, it's a large investment. Is it hard running this around here?
Hard. I mean, kind of. I have a lot of people on the team at this point, you know, which I really think is like pretty much the most important thing if you're going to try to build something that's bigger than just a that's bigger than just you making content, is that you got to start building your team. Like literally the first $1,000 you start making a month from your content, you should be thinking, how can I spend, can I spend that $1,000 to make my job easier and make my time better spent?
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Because time is so important, especially dealing with this. You need time to research. You need time to develop skill and style.
Yeah.
Right. Because interviewing just ain't, and that's one thing about you. Right. And of course, I know the coaches here, they said, Loon, I want you to talk to them about a number of things, and we're going to talk about all of those mm-hmm. things. But you're a guy who, when I see you interview, I can appreciate the style, right? It's mm-hmm. not, some people don't understand it, right? We'll get to the drill shit later, but I'm saying just far as pure D interview style.
Mm-hmm.
I say this dude knows what he's doing, right? You pause, you just your style. How did you develop that?
I honestly think that it's just from experience of watching shitloads of other podcasts and also just being like a really relentless critic, in the sense that, you know, that's pretty much how I've been my whole life. I'll be listening to a rapper and they could be one of the greatest rappers of all time, and I'll still be thinking, this song sucks. You know, I don't like how they said this bar right here. I don't like, I hate this intro. I hate the fact that this album's too long. You know, like I've always been that person where I just like have always just been like a relentless critic of myself and others. And still to this day, I'll be listening to a Joe Rogan podcast and I'll find myself thinking, this sucks, you know, like a random part of it. And right. I might think the whole thing is dope,
right?
But I'll be like, this 10, 15 minutes right here,
yeah,
I don't like this. He should have done this. He should have done that. Now, do I have any business telling one of the most successful podcasters of all time how to do their job? No, not really. But I do that same shit to myself where before I sit down with somebody, the question is not like, what can we talk about? Because realistically, me and you could have a good conversation about all our favorite fast food spots.
Exactly.
But who the fuck, are we specialized in talking about that? Right. No, we're not. It's just like, it would be okay. But and somebody who's a diehard fan of you or a diehard fan of me might fuck with it.
Right.
But realistically, it's like the most, I try to get to the root of what is the most important thing. What's the most interesting thing? And sometimes people would be shocked because I'll leave out something that's like kind of a big deal about an artist. But it's like, bro, if I don't think it's interesting, or if I think that the video that Vlad already did talking about it is already like, I'm not going to do a better job talking about it or whatever, you know, it's like, to me, it's like, let's keep it interesting. And that's like that OJ one that we were just talking about, OJ the Juice Man. It's like, I felt like I've seen him do a bunch of interviews, but I felt like I hit on a bunch of different things that he got very passionate about that really kind of gave that interview like a different feel. And I see it in the comments, and I see the comments being like, oh man, like, I ain't watched a good No Jumper interview in a month, 2 months, rah, 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 but this is the one. This is one of the best. You know, like, I'm so addicted to that feeling.
Me too.
Of just wanting people to have a great experience watching my shit that I want to live up to that. So that's why I can't help but read the comments and read the chat and just take it in.
Me too, man. And I think it's so important. You know, we may be unique in that. You know, a lot of people shy away from the comments, shy away from the critique. For me, I understand that that's the only way we get to the next level, especially for me on myself, right? And with that OJ the Juice Man interview, it was interesting because what I also think lends itself to great content is people wanting to come to the platform.
Mm.
And it was clear that he had a certain level of respect for what it is that you've done.
Right.
And so that always shines bright in the interview as well.
Yeah, because like I felt like the best interviews are the ones where you really love the person, where you're such a big fan. You have so much respect for them because they just, it becomes hard to give a bad interview when you know that the person who's interviewing you really just fucks with you. And with the OJ thing, I just started out. I was like, listen, here's a little story about a time in 2009 when I saw you perform at the very beginning of your career. Let me tell you about this random video I remember from back in the day, yada, yada. Just keep hitting them over the head with this shit that shows that I have an actual respect for them.
Right.
Because it's easy for a rapper if they sit down and get asked some bullshit-ass question, it's easy for them to start treating the interview like a joke and not care and not really give anything of themselves. But respect will get you so far because I've seen Snoop Dogg, or actually, this is just an example because I can't remember if it's a real thing or not, but somebody like Snoop Dogg will sit down and do an interview with Larry King, right? Larry King's like ancient fucking CNN interviewer for anybody who doesn't know. But like, Larry King will say some shit that I could never say. Yeah. He'll say, what's it like being a Crip?
Just straight out, one line.
I can't say that. That's a retarded question coming from me because I'm just too, I know too much.
Right.
But because Jay-Z has a lot of respect for Larry King, or Snoop Dogg has a lot of respect for Larry King, he'll sit there and he'll give you a real fucking answer. Yeah. He'll try to explain it to your old ass, knowing that you're 80 years old or whatever.
It's just the dynamics are completely different too. Yeah, like you said, just that you really don't know. Like I can assume that anyway. If you do know, but if you're 80, I can assume you may be disconnected from that.
Right.
But if you ask, it's more so like what you trying to get to with that.
I saw Snoop Dogg doing an interview with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan said, "So is the East Coast West Coast beef still a thing?"
Yeah. Just flat out one line.
I was laughing because, like, to me, that's a crazy thing to say. You're talking about some murders that happened, like, literally, like, almost 30 years ago.
Long time.
That, yes, they rocked hip-hop, but no, there's no East Coast, West Coast. That's not.
Yeah, it's over.
But Snoop Dogg sat there and gave him a real answer because it's Joe Rogan. You know, he respects him enough to break it down for him.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, and that shines bright. And I have that in the culture, right? Everybody's reaching out to me. I've not reached out to nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's been like people are saying, man, the way you talk, what you talk about, we fuck with that. And I think when you have that culture equity, that puts you in a very unique place.
Mm-hmm.
You've been able to get that culture equity, but you've been faced with criticism as well.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to call you a clout chaser. What's your definition of a clout chaser?
Well, we're all clout chasers. Spoiler alert for everybody out there is that if you're making online content, I mean, even the best content creators, when you look at somebody like I have huge amounts of respect for Drink Champs, but are they clout chasing when they have Kanye on, knowing that he's kind of in this crazy part of his life or that he's likely to say something crazy on camera? I mean, you could kind of frame that in a way and say, well, look, Nori was just running after the views, running after the money, running after the whatever. And I mean, there's a little bit of truth to that, you know, in the same way that, you know, if somebody's popping off, going super viral, and I manage to get an interview with them time, sure. But then also, I interview people who are nobodies, and sometimes they will get hundreds of thousands or millions of views because I have a fucking viewpoint that allows me to see value in people that other people don't see. But what are you saying?
With the clout chasing thing, or with the interview aspect of that, right? When you say from an interview perspective, when I deal with you or deal with what's been said about you, they more so, I think, come from a titling or a question perspective on you, right? It's not necessarily that the whole interview is a clout chase move,
right?
But there's times in which you're titled these things or maybe ask these questions that people view as clout chasing. But I want to know your definition of clout chasing before we have a conversation even about why they consider that to be the case, to even know if you frame it that way.
I mean, clout chasing, it's like, just if I had to define it, it would just be like basically relentlessly seeking clout and attention by any means possible. And I've seen this play out in all kinds of nasty ways where, you know, I've seen grown ass men like basically just like following like little kid rappers around to just try to like get some kind of clout off them. And that was like a big criticism that got thrown at me when people saw me go on tour with Lil Pump. They're like, oh, look at you hanging out with these like 16, 17, 18 year old kids, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, that's a decent criticism.
But that was clout chasing, would you say?
True, but also to me, clout chasing, my life would be more of a clout chasing thing if I were to go to the club every night and just be trying to talk to all these rich, famous people, yada, yada, and like trying to, you know, really like be up in the mix and stuff. To me, my life would be more about like clout chasing if every interview we did was only with somebody who was like viral as fuck at that moment, when in reality, I mean, we do interviews with people all the time who are at the beginning of their career, the middle of their career, the end of their career, you know, like, I mean, I don't really like feel like we are clout chasers. I don't think that's like a very good term to use to describe us, even though it does happen, you know, for sure.
I won't say that you're a clout chaser, right? That's I would say that's a reach, because again, I did speak to the value of your interviewing style. So I couldn't just call you a clout chaser, because that would mean I would get nothing else out of the content.
Right.
Right. But we ask each other, because I seen, let's talk about the Joe Budden thing, when you went up and spoke with Joe and they tried to pin you to the wall.
Right.
Right. How did you feel about the conversation with him?
Triumphant. I felt great. I felt like, holy shit, I just walked in here into the lion's den. I'm not in my city. I'm in a fucking basement in Queens with four dudes who are all dead set on wearing my ass out. You know, like a little war of attrition. You go for 3.5 hours, however long it was, you know, maybe somebody's doing good in the beginning and then they start to fade as it goes. Right. And the whole time I was like, nah, I'm doing this. Like, I'm running this shit. Like, I'm actually like, I know that I'm going to win the comments section.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then I even said that to Joe at one point. I said, like, you really think that you're going to take a W in the comments after this? And he was like, yes. He was like fucking totally offended by the idea that I thought that I was taking the W. And then sure enough, I mean, the proof was in the pudding, which it is what it is. But it's also like, I just felt like, Joe is this old school ass commentator who feels like he's above doing some of the clickbait stuff or asking certain type of questions or whatever. But really what you're telling me is that you think that your desire to be respectable and to be viewed in a certain way when you're doing your content should basically like come before doing what the fans want to see. And that's the main message that I got from the reactions from the fans is like, Adam's asking the shit that we actually want to know about. Why the fuck are you trying to stand in his way? These people are grown-ass men answering these questions. If Adam wants to ask them about some beef they got, whatever. I mean, this is the lifeblood of hip-hop. It is controversy, beef, competition, etc. Now, obviously, back in the day in the 80s and 90s, it was a lot more. We're competing on raps. And now a lot of times, like when we talk about NBA YoungBoy versus Lil Durk, nobody's talking about who's the better rapper. I mean, some fans are, but that's clearly not like what this is based on. This is a real beef. You know, but I'm saying like that's just, you know, if I had NBA YoungBoy right now, I'd say, you know, why are you smoking on O Block Pack? What's your problem with these guys? Yada yada. I would ask the shit the fans want to hear, and it's on you to give me an answer that basically says however much or however little you want to say, because it's going to be straight up easy as fuck for you to dance around that question. If you say, YoungBoy might sit there and say, "What's O Block?"
He can get around it. I think though, and because with me, I don't see, I'm the guy that come in the game and ain't done none of that, right? I've yet to sit with dudes and ask them certain questions, and I understand the interest of the fans, but I'm in interest of the information, right? When I sit down with dudes, it ain't about what the fans want to hear. It's about some information because we build a new industry. Right. So I'm asking rappers how you make $10 million a year. I'm asking dudes like you how you afford to get this building and do 4 and 5 different pieces of content a day at the same time, right? So I think there is a way to have these conversations and they be interesting to the fans without it being so direct and involved with some of the messy shit, right?
But that's the thing is that from my perspective, that's – a good interview is the one where you're direct. Direct is a very, very big skill as an interviewer.
But direct.
Dancing around is the work of somebody who's not that comfortable.
Direct is one thing, but we added something. Direct to the mess, right? I'm direct to the information.
Right.
So we both direct, right? And nobody's saying don't be direct. We saying let's figure out directly where we going. So I'm asking directly to the messy shit could be considered.
Okay, but let me just put it in perspective like this. If I was doing a Lil Durk interview, and let's say that some crazy shit happened, you know, in his old neighborhood, whatever. People got killed, all crazy shit. But it's not really like out there. Like it's not known people. He hasn't said anything about it in the music, whatever. But it's some crazy ass shit. And I ask him about that. I could see that maybe being like a little, if you're really taking some street shit that people don't know about and bringing it to a public forum.
This is street shit.
Right. But the thing about Lil Durk is that Lil Durk gets on songs and talks about how he's smoking this person and that person. And he's talking about how your homie got killed and everybody knows what fucking situation he's referring to, etc. So to me, I'm not bringing anything that's secret.
Let me ask you this.
I'm taking something that has been discussed in the music and trying to get some clarification, but really in hip-hop interviewing, that's the vast majority of what you're doing in general.
I understand that, but let me ask you this. If I take right now in the middle of this interview and start hitting myself, it ain't going to bother you. You ain't going to stop me. If I just start hitting myself right now,
I would probably leave.
You're probably right. But the key is that if Durk or one of these rappers is talking about these things, those ramifications is what they got to deal with, right? And so when you come in, make an assist and clarify what I probably had clouded up, because when they do speak about it, they speak about it from a cloudy spot.
Sometimes these Chicago guys, it ain't that cloudy.
If it ain't something that's just y'all and already ran with, right? If it's some new little shit, and if it's some shit, a lot of times they cloudy it up, and then here come the blog niggas, and here come the podcast niggas clarifying. Oh, he was talking about such and such. What he was saying was this and that. And that, when you live there, I think it's dangerous because you. Again, we just talked about how well you're doing.
But this is the thing is I think good content is dangerous. Me and Vlad have sat here and had these conversations about what it feels like when you're sitting in an interview with somebody who's respected, who's strong, who's rich, who's powerful, etc., and you're sitting there in the interview and you got something in your mind that is the banger question, the thing that people want to fucking know, the thing you want to know, the thing that is going to make all the headlines, the thing that a lot of people would be terrified to say to this person, that moment where you decide, I'm going to fucking ask it because I care more about doing a great job in this interview. I care more about entertaining the people at home than I care about my own sense of security or my own fear. You know, like me and Vlad have a different perspective on that because we see that as a moment of us doing the hard work of asking the question that other people would be scared to ask.
And you're pretty good at this.
Thank you.
But I'm pretty good at
it. I've had plenty of time to think about it.
Right. But I'm pretty good at this too. And so when you're doing this thing that I find interesting, it's a great technique, right? You're pending what you're doing next to a great job, mm-hmm. right? And I want to separate those, right? Even if we feel that it's a great job, mm-hmm. let's deal with that separately from the actions that's being took. So when we talk about the idea that you're going to ask a question that places someone in a situation to incriminate themselves, mm-hmm. right? Now, they have the ability to dance around it, mm-hmm. but I think interesting content is dangerous as well. But what is dangerous? Is dangerous messy or is dangerous breaking the code of the information? How do we get to the 100 million? Who's That's code? What's dangerous.
It's their code. It ain't my code.
Yeah, no, not your code. What I'm saying when we deal with each other, though, right. How did you get there? Right? You might got a little information I don't got. I might got some you don't got. We trying to get to the 100 million, 500 million on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's what's dangerous to me. Right? That's dangerous. Unlocking that wealth on the other side of the content. When we deal with the mess, that's dangerous to who? To people that don't got to deal with it? Because whatever happened after that, Adam go home. Mm-hmm. If a nigga say he said on the interview, I'm pressing the button, Adam go do 3 more interviews tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So again, when you don't got to eat the cooking, when you don't got to eat the food that's being cooked, it's important to understand that. Right. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, when we deal with it, I'm just wondering why it's dangerous that instead of Vlad with his big platform, you with your huge, amazing platform coming together, figuring out how to do something and get 100 million from Spotify, or why isn't that dangerous? Why is it
we don't want money from Spotify. We got our own businesses.
Right. And I'm not saying in that way, right?
I'm just saying that's interesting, right?
Don't discredit what my point, because right. pin me to the Spotify right. thing. These are examples of me having access or trying to get information from the people mm-hmm. who have the biggest market share.
Right. No,
so that's all okay. I'm saying.
My thing is that I think as a media person, as a journalist, et cetera, that yes, you do need to be kind of, this thing is buzzing. You got to be kind of tactical about how you approach conversation. And from my perspective, from Vlad's perspective, I mean, we are extremely tactical about how we approach that kind of things. I do interviews all the time where there's some big viral thing that I could easily ask somebody, and I just don't do it because I think it would be in bad taste. For instance, like I brought this up to somebody the other day, but like the other day I was interviewing Boss Top. Boss Top was King Von's right-hand man. A week before that, Quando Rondo's homie had gotten killed in West Hollywood. And everybody who knows anything about O-Block versus 4K Trey, it's like, okay, Quando Rondo's boy getting killed right in front of him in Hollywood is like, if you're Quando Rondo's sworn enemy, then you're looking at that and you're probably what? Feeling
right.
whatever you're going to feel about it.
Right.
Now, I didn't bring that up to him because I felt like that was kind of crossing the line, because that question would have been straight up inviting him and to shit on a dead man. And that felt weird. Now, if he, when that guy had died, if he had hopped on his Instagram story and said, hey, fuck buddy, yada, 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 I don't fuck with him, he had it coming, rah, rah, then I feel like that's appropriate for me to ask him that question, because you already put that sentiment out there into the world. But for me to do an interview and just put the pieces together and say, hey, here's this open invitation to shit on this dude who I don't know, who just got killed, whatever, then that felt like it was crossing the line. Now, I'll give you another example. Is I've had conversations with Vlad where he's called the local police department beforehand to make sure that the case was closed before he did an interview with a rapper, specifically the baby. Because this is before the baby had done any interviews. Vlad called the police department to just make sure that this whole murder thing that happened in the Walmart, this is a closed case, right? This is not something that's open, active. That was very impressive to me, because that's not something I would have thought to do.
Right.
I would have thought to myself, well, the baby's a grown-ass man, so he... if it's a case, a closed case or it's not, he knows.
He definitely knows.
And he can make the decision, right?
But
I thought it was impressive that Vlad went the extra mile to make 100% sure that he wasn't getting somebody to confess to something on camera that could then be used against him.
I think I agree that that is a monumental move, right? Mm-hmm. And I also think that is warranted from Vlad. The reason I say that is because he's been under a whole bunch of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. He's been viewed and mentioned to be responsible for certain things, right? And so I think that he wears that. Even if he tries to ignore it and act like it don't mean nothing, I think he understands that people try to paint him a certain way, whether or not that's the case or
but,
not.
But see, this is the thing, and like, I don't know, how long you been doing media, would you say? Like interviews and just talking
maybe
to people on camera.
2 years.
Right. To me, the deeper that I get into this and like the longer I spend watching the hip hop information online realm develop, the more I'm like, damn, Vlad knew what the fuck was going to happen in like 2010, 2011, whatever, because he got so much shit for what, like titling clips about exactly what it was, for dropping shit as clips instead of just dropping the whole interview. Like people forget that back in like 2015, the Breakfast Club would get a Jay-Z interview and title it Jay-Z interview.
Right.
And then and now if they get a Jay-Z interview, it's
Vlad is added to this this algorithm thing.
He saw what was happening, yeah. And he had like many, many observations about how the shit was gonna play out. And he actually had the balls to fucking do it, even though he was getting so much hate for it. And all those things that he did that he got so much shit for are all normal now. And all these people who are like, you know, somebody like Nori, who's like a super respected hip hop participant, he's like a legendary guy. I mean, he does all the same things where there's clips on his channel that have titles that are exactly like Vlad clips. So it's like, I feel like, you know, there's just a real thirst for information from the fans out there. And that's why, like we were saying earlier, that you could sit and do an interview with me where you're talking to me about how I made millions of dollars and how I got this building and yada yada. And it's like, I just imagine that interview and I imagine what the title would be. And I feel like that's just not going to be as interesting to people because I've kind of already talked about a lot of that stuff. And my story is not that different from like 5 billion other fucking people who
I disagree with that.
But okay, but then on the other hand, when
you're
people do
a
interviews
lot of
with
shit.
Me, like Vlad just did an interview with me and he asked me about Aaron Carter just died 3 days after you did an interview on Let's Talk About It. He talked to me about the Joe Budden shit. He's talking to me about a lot of mixy ass shit, but it's shit that's like recent, it's current. It really shows that he's tuned into what people are going to want to hear me talk about. Whereas I have done a lot of interviews where I talk about business and everything and people like that shit, but also that's kind of like its own thing. Like your come up story is its own thing versus like,
right. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, all the messy
These
shit is kind of like another
but
thing.
But you're dealing with a scientist. I'm a scientist. Right. So I do this. I go in and out these pockets. That's why I got so much going on around me, mm-hmm. you know? So me, when I say it, my people already know Adam must don't know long. Right? Because my ability to do this is not the same as, and I get it. I understand, right? A lot of the information shit is whack, for lack of a better term, right? Mm. And a lot of the content pieces where we get into the Aaron Carter death and you being the last person to sit in front of them and things like that are much more interesting. But there's a balance.
True.
And I respect the balance.
And that's one thing I don't think I get credit for is that, like, you watch that OJ Juiceman interview. Yes, there are a couple moments in it where I'm asking him about some viral shit, whatever. But for the most part, I honestly feel that I do the most in-depth, like, spiritual ass, and I'm not a spiritual person, but type interviews. Like, I talk to people who are from all different walks of life in hip-hop and allow them to vibe the fuck out and talk about whatever. And I feel like my interviews, in a lot of ways, feel like the least clout thirsty interviews that I fucking see, just because I interview people all the time and feel like I get a completely different version of them than the way that they act on other platforms. I saw that with OJ. I think about somebody like Kamaya. I watched a couple of Kamaya interviews before I interviewed her. She came in and she was just fucking with me, just like talking about whatever, just being so cool. Like I was blown away by it. And that is really what I'm after. Like the clickbait shit is cool because I want to do stuff that people want to hear about. But then at the same time, like for me to sit in front of somebody and have a really great conversation for a couple hours is really what I'm after. And sometimes
and
I feel like
I'm
I don't
saying.
Necessarily get the credit for the fact
I just gave you your credit.
Listen,
let me get you to understand this. My place in the culture, bro, they're going to expect me to be extremely rough with you.
Right.
But they don't understand, if they don't know me, that it's information based. Mm. We come here to give some information to each other, right? And share some game. Whatever's happening in the world, just speak on our perspectives. That's what we come to do. Now, what I grab from what you're saying, again, in interest of finding the truth and understanding that I respect your interview style. I just spoke to how I understand, bro, you can do this without that. Mm. I just said it and you just said it. So what I grab from these times when you sit in front of the guy who is friends with King Von and you don't go into that room, what I get from that is he can do that and still be effective. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why you don't pull from that, that, yo, I don't have to live in that pocket to even have that tag on my shirt.
I do it all. But also, I want to say this, is that to me, I'm like, everything about what I'm building and what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to stay normal. I'm trying to stay a regular ass person. This is insanely important to me because I see so many people get successful and turn into weirdos. And that is like, if anything, I'm trying to do everything I can. Keep driving a normal car, dress normal, act normal, you know, et cetera. Like, I want to be a regular guy. And from my perspective,
it depends on what regular is.
But when you're a regular guy and you go to get your hair cut, what are you talking about? You talking about who got shot, who got ran off the block, who got beat up. That's from my perspective, is that when we sit down, when I'm in the group chat with the homies, what are we talking about? We talking about who got beat up, who got, like, who's going through a crazy breakup, their girl was talking shit about him on her story, et cetera. So to me, that is kind of like human nature in a lot of ways, is to definitely at least get clarity. And that's my whole thing, is if we're going to do a 2-hour interview.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle.
Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We could talk for an hour about what it is to live a good life, how great it is to raise your kids, how great it is to have a business, to not, you know, all this good, healthy, hearty shit that people love. People do love to hear that. But then also it's like, hey, your girlfriend said that you beat her up on her Instagram story, homie. Like, we got to talk about this, you know? But also it's like, we don't have to. I ask people sometimes, or they'll tell me like, hey, I don't want to talk about this thing.
I look at this entire game, bro. And when I study Rogan, it's conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, it's just conversations. It ain't even all of that. It ain't even, niggas don't have to do what, it's just conversations, son. Listen, I come from in your barbershop, that's what they running. In my barbershop, when I come in, my barbershop go to talking about money. Mm. We talking about info. Listen, I put it, anybody watching this, can't nobody dispute me. There ain't no 10 on me. Nowhere in the world. You understand? I put this on everything I love. When I come around, they talking about information. Little dude wants some more money. It's clear everywhere I go. So when I come in the barbershop, it's, man, what have you found out about what they did with Black Effect over there? Mm-hmm. What Nori making? What is Re-Up going to be like? Have you paid attention to Adam? He done dropped 6 interviews. They all got 500,000 or more.
Right.
You know, that's my conversation.
That's fair, yeah.
And
that's,
so I'm trying. Right. And so it's interest in that. It's big boy interest in that. Mm. And I have to let you know that because your platform is so big. And I find it interesting that you only can see that the content is living in a great place when you deal with things that you know are kind of edgy, mm-hmm. you know, instead of the information.
But this is my thing, too, is that, you know, somebody, PGF Nook is somebody who I love the album he put out and everything. But he also, like, he's baiting me to ask those kind of questions because he'll go on the record and say GDK. And so I'm like, hey, I know what that means. Why you say that on that record? Why, I want to know. Like, you feel like that? You would pop off on anybody you see, like who's like that? Like, that to me is interesting. Now, if you want to sit there and say, "Nah, I don't remember saying that. I would never say anything like that." Right. I'm gonna let you get away with your bullshit. You can pull the wool over our eyes. Yeah. It's fine. I'm not gonna press the issue crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like if you put it in a song,
I get
to me
it.
That's like, yeah, I'm gonna.
And
ask
I
you
have
what
to
mean.
Respect the fact that there's something there.
Right.
Right, I haven't identified how to move with it, but there's something there when they are saying these things on these records and then these Instagram posts, and then you sit in front of me and I'm dealing with an audience. You understand? So there's something there, right? And out of loyalty and respect for my audience, I need them to understand that I do ask you the things that need to be asked.
But you know, other comments I love reading. I love when I get comments that are like, how the fuck does this 38-year-old white boy know what the fuck is going on? You know, I love those comments of people who are like,
answer it. Here's your
damn
chance.
He actually fucking understands the politics of this rapper and this, like, how did, like, that to me means a lot too, because I just love people and I love culture and I love music and I love just observing what's going on. And I'm not trying to be something I'm not, but at the same time, like, when I know that I'm doing a really good job, I could be reporting on a story that is not the biggest thing. I just interviewed this YouTuber, Booba100X, sorry. And he does a lot of, he's a YouTuber and he's young and he's from the fucking streets. And he's doing a lot of videos where he's doing shit with all these drill rappers, which it's actually crazy what he does. He'll play their ops music in front of him. And so then,
these are dangerous.
This is like a young black kid from the hood.
Fuck.
And he's making YouTube videos, getting mad views doing this. And I'm looking at it like, bro, that's insane. Like, I could never get away with that. I would never even want to get away with that if I thought I could get away with that, because you really baiting some shit right there. I can't believe that the rappers let him do that. And he's just out here making content like that. And, you know, I was doing the interview with him and he's just like astonished, like multiple times in the interview of like, whoa, you're really deep on YouTube that you know what the fuck is going on in New York like that. You know, and I like that's.
And see, I
really am interested. You know,
I do see that oftentimes I view you and say, just based on, like you said, the in-depth interviews you have with a, like a OJ the Juice Man, right? Or some of these guys whose stories may not be known to the masses. So you had to do either some digging or you had to been in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
One or two things happening, and either one of those things have to lend itself to some sort of respect. So I say, damn, he got to respect the culture. But then on the other side, when Joe Budden said to you, Black culture made you a millionaire. You paused, almost like, is that the case? And on our side, it's like there's no pause needed there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you understand that black culture made you a millionaire?
Well, I think if you look at my channel, it's like what percentage of the interviews are really with rappers or really like
you do understand deeply invested that black in black culture.
There's a lot of it for sure. Yeah, it's a lot, but yeah. It's not all.
Let's not deal with.
I made a lot of fucking money white off people. Porn. I made a lot of money off BMX bikes. I made a lot of money off a lot of shit.
And now,
so
for sure.
In
for
a
sure.
weird way, I do find like that's kind of like, it's kind of like an exaggeration because the reality is that I make mad money off everything I touch.
But that's because of, right? No jumper is no jumper because of the triple X's.
Right.
Because of the early little pumps, because of the early, this is why no jumper is what it is. Now, what you did with your business speaks to the acumen,
mm-hmm.
the business acumen. You pivoted, you got another building, you moved five times, you run into AD. That's what changed a lot of things. AD brought a culture here as well that gave you an identity outside of the interview.
Right, because for a while, No Jumper was just me doing mad interviews, right. You know? And then I was trying to, like, build up personalities along with the No Jumper thing and everything. But AD was the first one that we really felt like we had success with. Like, it was actually like, oh, a lot of people are watching it. A lot of people are invested in figuring out what this guy's like and how you're going to get along with him and everything. And like, oh, shit, he can do a show without you and people will fuck with it. And then we just kept finding more and more talent like that. So, yeah, I mean, I do agree that, like, I have a pretty uncanny ability to spot talent when it comes to both rapper, like people to interview as well as like hosts. I definitely think that, and I just, you know, I have a very open mind because a lot of the people who've been brought to the channel, like AD has brought a couple of people to the channel that have been very, very popular and successful. But also it's like, you know, he's brought a bunch of people that I kind of said no to, you know, it's like, but the idea of like, yeah, have I made a lot of money off of black culture? I mean, yeah. To be honest, I've been obsessed with black culture since I was a young child. So yes, it's like, it kind of makes sense to me, yeah.
What feels funny about just saying, yeah, no, the black culture fucked with me.
No, yeah,
like,
yeah,
Triple X came and sat with me.
I'm not trying to deny that in any way. I just feel like it kind of deserves a little bit of clarification because it's like, if I was somebody who could sit here and say that every fucking dollar I ever made was from black culture, then that might be a fucking...
What if I said bike culture?
Right.
What if I said... You became a millionaire of bike culture. We know that's not the case. We know more of our culture than bike culture. Would you have that same feeling about clarifying it then?
No, that would just be straight and accurate because I wasn't really making that much money off the bike shit.
Right,
but that was my thing that kept me living for like 10 years before I managed to get into the hip hop shit. And I mean, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, this is my thing about it, is that I've seen so many people complaining about me, Academics, and Vlad for so fucking long and damn near none of them have actually been able to create their own platform and do something that really was able to, like, you know, weaken the businesses that we've built. Now, on the other hand, I've seen a lot of people who've been able to basically become very significant media personalities in their own right off of the back of Vlad, off of the back of my shit, et cetera. So, I mean, do we sometimes make a bunch of money off black culture? Sure. Do we also constantly put money into the hands of black people by paying them for interviews or giving them shows or you know, all this other stuff? I mean, you got to take that into account too, because somebody like AD will sit here, T-Rell will sit here, tell you, Sharp will tell you, all these different people of color that I put on the channel, they'll tell you, Adam gave me opportunity when nobody who looks like me was giving me an opportunity, you know? And I'm going to be real with you too, though. The fact that they are black, to me, is very incidental. I really just genuinely, like, that doesn't mean that much to me. Like, I don't really, like, look, like, they're black and that's part of their personality.
And I'm not caught up into that shit, right? I fuck with real.
I'm happy to give a white guy an opportunity, too. It's not really, you know.
Yeah, I get that, right? I respect the fuck out of that. I would argue either you don't like Academics or Academics don't like you.
We actually talk a pretty good amount. He says some stuff that people take as like anti No Jumper sometimes on his stream or whatever, but I don't really I feel like it's just kind of trolling and fucking around, whatever. There's been very few things in recent memory that I've really been like bothered that he said, you know?
Well, how you feel about what he's saying and what he's saying are two different things, right? Your emotions may not be attached to what he's saying, but the things he's saying ain't things people who like you would say.
So what are you referring to?
I was looking today, right? You guys had a long conversation. This is old things, right? But right, I see him now speaking to the young guy you have on your platform now, telling him that, you know, stick no jumper up and, you know, AD gonna run off with the bag. These things affect you business-wise, whether you know it or not or want to act like these things.
How?
These people make clips off of these things. They're interested. Right. They're amplifying these things or amplified. But and
that's what the fans do.
Do you think the market ignores that?
Well, I mean,
do you think AD could go anywhere else and be involved in a way that he is at No Jumper for a price point at that?
AD knows that he's free to have conversations with me about money whenever he wants, and that he could talk, he could ask for a raise, he could say that he wants to do this, he could, you know, those conversations are always open. My whole policy with everybody is like, let's just be super transparent about money, about who's going to be able to work to, you know, like I just, I don't shy away from that. And so that's why, and honestly, like every time that that's happened, where Academics was saying some shit to T-Rell or AD about potentially hiring them or whatever, that always just ends up in a conversation in the group chat about their loyalty to No Jumper and how that's not a temptation to them and how, you know.
Brother, bro, but we, come on, Adam.
What?
Come on, man. I come from this culture. That shit don't mean nothing. A group chat about, man, we loyal to you, fam. Mm-hmm. Family. That shit don't mean
so
nothing.
You really don't believe him, huh?
Man, who believes niggas saying anything?
But that's not, I'm not looking for that kind of loyalty anyway. So because again, if they get offered an amount
then
of money.
Guess what it means?
If Academics offers them twice as much money and I can't pay that and I don't want to.
He ain't offering nobody nothing.
Go for it.
He ain't offering nobody nothing. He's doing it deliberately to affect what you got going on. He not even.
I think
he,
you're taking it a little bit more serious than anyone involved
okay,
is taking
so
it.
Listen,
I know,
okay.
He's not taking it that serious. All I'm right. not taking that serious. AD and T-Rell aren't taking it that
that's,
serious. I don't even think the fans are taking it that
and
serious.
That's because you guys, and you can't control the narrative with these people. I understand how this works. Listen, people don't say things like the, and then I looked at the conversation, all these things he was saying about your wife, bro.
Well, okay, that I am in total agreement, but that was a while ago. We had a lot of conversations about
bro.
It. But okay, you're trying to convince me I should be mad about some stuff
I'm
we already got past?
I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm trying to clarify that you guys are playing this little weird game with each other.
Right.
Like you like each other, but there's really a situation where he continues to send shots at you and you continue to ignore it like it doesn't happen. He continues to say, Adam's my little nigga, and you continue to act like
did
it.
Did he say that?
Man,
when was that?
I don't, like, you could, your people will find it, okay. Right? And so all I'm saying is, what's your true feelings on Academics? Your true feelings. Tell
me. I mean,
me.
My true feelings, honestly, are kind of the same as when I came in the game, because I was looking at his channel when I started my channel, and I thought that what he was doing was incredible. And I would say kind of the same thing now. You know, he's a very good interviewer. He's one of the few rap interviewers I would put in my league. You know, like, there's just not that many. And in terms of, there's interviewing, and then there's building a business.
Right.
So he's done both. Vlad has done both, and
I've done
both.
I think he's a terrible interviewer, and I think.
Really?
Man, I think praise that's not deserved is satire. And I believe this is satire, what you're doing.
What?
This dude is not a good interviewer in my
opinion.
Why do
you say that?
It's a snooze fest.
Really? I don't think
in
anyone
the South, would. In the South, we believe that to be a snooze fest. And maybe I'm what maybe I'm off. Tell me, you see, I gave you your props. I view this game very. I'm not biased.
I don't give that many
all.
People that much props on interviews.
I know you
and
don't.
And he hasn't been
I
doing it that long, but I would say he's very good.
I think you have a fear of Academics for some strange reason.
No, that's not true. I mean,
or maybe he came in with you and knows things. Something is happening. But
anything he knows about me, he has put it on Front Street at some point during us having a beef.
And that's your friend.
Well, you're telling me that if someone has disrespected me, I should never be able to get past it?
No.
Okay.
Especially if you don't know me and we had no real relationship to begin with.
How
shout out
know
to,
each other. We've known each other
out,
for like 7
shout
years.
Shout out to 50 Cent. When he dealt with a situation with the game, somebody I'm getting money with blessed into this game. And then this situation happened that he said, damn, I can't identify what just, hold on. I don't know what made that happen. You just was doing all that about my wife and how she like trained. What, whoa, whoa, whoa. Right. What did I do to warrant that? And if I can't understand that, I have to think like 50 Cent thought in that moment and say, if I don't know what caused the reaction, I can't be involved in any way.
No, I mean, I totally understand what caused that situation. We had a whole thing that played out over a period of time.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, we got past it. People actually got to see us have the whole patching it up conversation. And there's been other conversations that took place behind the scenes and everything. But, you know, I've been on his podcast 2 times. He did the whole No Jumper Show thing with that. He hasn't actually done like a formal interview since all that. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean,
I got respect for what you do, bro. Adam, I got respect for what you do behind this mic. Right. I've studied the entire thing from top to bottom, and I understand exactly where you stand in this, right? I don't think you need these guys. I don't think whatever respect, whatever weird game you're playing where you're not standing on the business, as far as disrespect is disrespect, man, nigga.
You're saying that if I...
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. where America goes to hire.
I've ever been disrespected by anybody, then I can't get over it. We can't
this,
pass it up.
In this competitive space, I'm not saying that, because then I would not be standing for what I understand to be the case of life, which is growing and elevating. I understand that to be the case. I'm saying unwarranted things happening to me will not be accepted, right? And there's no understanding for things that were not warranted. And for you as me, I'm saying everything that happened to you would act, in my opinion, how far he went was unwarranted.
No, totally. I didn't appreciate some of the things he said during all that, for sure. And I mean, a lot of it started because of things that I had said about him that he didn't appreciate or whatever, but we got past it. So.
And shout out to y'all relationship. I don't say that to affect that. Again, I'm trying to understand, is these little weird games being played in media? Because I come in with the money.
Right.
My shit on the flow, and I got deals everywhere. So right. I come in saying, are they playing this little weird game? Because okay. I know Adam don't need act. And act don't need Adam. Yeah,
but okay, think about what the game is. Is that if you kind of look at where we're both at in terms of the content and everything, it's like there are two different ways that you could judge us. Academics can sit on Twitch and talk his shit, and it will dominate the fucking headlines. It'll be
dominate
all over Twitter.
Headlines?
I mean, the real headlines in the world, on the blogs, whatever. Like he's just very, he's probably better than anybody else in hip hop at just getting on the mic and saying his opinions about shit and then having it be like controversial enough that everybody fucking talks about it. So you got to give it to him. For me,
he's relevant in the culture.
My shit is a little different because I'm not necessarily like, we do talk about all the current events and everything.
You're a great interviewer, bro.
But I'll give you an example. When Takeoff dies, he runs to Twitch to document every last bit of what was going on in the video. I didn't even think of that. I saw him doing it. I'm like, oh, that was a pretty good idea. My brain doesn't necessarily go there.
I didn't see that being a good idea.
Well, I mean, content-wise, he had like 50,000 viewers, so at least in the moment, it was a good
idea. I think our measuring sticks are different. Let me ask you this.
But this is what I'm saying, is that then at the same time, though, you look at No Jumper, and it's like, oh, there's like 10 hosts on it. Now, the one thing that he hasn't really done is he hasn't really like built up a bunch of hosts under him. And I know that he said that he wants to do that, but he hasn't necessarily. And I understand why he's kind of moving slow on it, because it's like he is able to be so profitable just by being himself on camera. But when he's like saying that shit to T-Rell and AD, I almost take it as like an acknowledgement of like, he sees that I'm building this, and he sees
you know
that it's a big
different
thing. And he knows that he has to, at some point, that's something that he wants to kind of do as well.
Right. And so, you know how many ways it is to acknowledge that without doing it that way?
Right.
I know you're good at this, so you could do that. Give me your top five hip hop analysts or media guys.
Media guys. Fuck. I mean, interviewers is kind of like.
Let's do that.
Well, interviewers, like I said, you got to give me Vlad and Ack.
Oh, my God. Why do you keep putting Ack in this? What classic interviews? Give me one.
I just got to be real. I can't.
Give me one interview. Give me one quote. Anything.
Listen, but I'm not even saying that he has.
Give me one question.
Because most of his interviews are on Spotify, where they aren't not necessarily allowed to like live on their own on YouTube, whatever. But when I see him do interviews, I consider him one of the best people doing interviews.
I'll give you that. I can't argue with you. It's about taste, not opinion.
And Vlad, I think, is incredible at what he does. And I mean, other hip hop interviewers that I really think that you could put in the top five. That's a really good question, because I don't. You know, I like Math Hoffa. I'll give
Math
it to Math Hoffa.
Killing.
I think Math has been doing a really great job. I think
Math
he deserves near the top of the totem pole.
Okay, you putting Math up there. Shout out. That's big.
I like Math. Math brings
Shout
some very good
Math.
Stuff to the table.
That's
honestly, if
guy.
I had my YouTube subscriptions open right now, I might be able to look at it and like tell you even more, but I don't know.
Right.
Charlamagne. Got to give Charlamagne's up there.
Yeah, Charlamagne's the GOAT.
It's a little different because he has like two co-hosts.
I noticed
it's like a radio thing. But
nah, she's the GOAT.
He's definitely up there.
Yeah. I think I see you left Joe off of that. What's your thing with Joe?
But Joe doesn't interview many people.
What's your thing with Joe? You have anything with Joe?
No. Joe
Let's
is
go back
like
to the line.
To me where it's like,
Joe's way better
game.
At that.
Okay, but he barely interviews people, and he would acknowledge that. He does like less than one interview a month.
He's interviewing his friends.
Well, he talks to his friends, yeah. But I mean, with Joe, it's like I came in the game looking up to him. The first time he ever invited me over to chill was mind-blowing. Like, I cannot believe that this dude even wants to be around me in any way. And one thing I think a lot of people miss from the Joe Budden thing is that as soon as that shit ended, everybody's laughing, smiling, patting each other on the back.
That's why I'm wondering, is this fake media shit? Like, is that happening with that? Because that's fake media shit.
I wouldn't even say it's fake. It's just that it's like an acknowledgement that we all know what we're doing when we're on camera. Yeah,
right. And I can agree with that.
And a lot of people, this is not unique to hip hop, because a lot of times I've heard about like left-wing politicians and right-wing politicians and people who are writers who are left-wing Democrats or right-wing Republicans, and they'll be at these conferences and they'll see each other, and sometimes they'll actually say to each other like, oh yeah, we should collab, like we should yell at each other on Twitter,
or do a stream
or do an interview where we basically just like completely bitch at each other and dehumanize each other. Yeah. But that's like working together. So the thing with Joe, like, there's definitely probably a lot of moments where you could look at that in isolation and be like, damn, this motherfucker hates Adam. But and actually, even in that interview, there's one point where he was saying like, you are this, like, you are such, you're a culture vulture, and I'm like, that's not true, because you fuck with me. I know you love me, and that's why I know that you're sort of trolling right here in the interview. And it wasn't even like he really.
And see that fake media shit is weird to me, right? Or I'm here to get some information. I think that's where my tipping point is. Like, what are they doing? They're faking it, and then they acting like, oh, I got some smoke for you, and then they ain't really trying to figure it out. Because you, in my opinion, you did extremely well in that position.
But the thing is that. The best podcasts are kind of like your best friends, where it's like, you know, your closest homie, you could be at the bar, or you could be at a restaurant, or you could just be hanging out. You could have a 2-hour argument about whether
it's
something
important. And it's a great piece of content.
Whether it's about, but even off camera, I'm saying like, whether it's about, oh, this guy beat up his bitch, and then this happened, and he should have done this, and he should have done this, or whatever. Or it could be some shit that's more lighthearted, like, oh, you know, some relationship shit, whatever. You could have a 2-3-hour argument where you're calling each other names and you're screaming on each other and getting super into it, and then at the end of it, you're still just friends, right?
Right.
And that's kind of like, even though I barely fucking know the other guys on the Joe Budden podcast besides Joe, that's kind of how it felt. It was like, hell yeah, we just made some dope content. Realistically, we pretty much believe everything we said, but also, fuck yeah, let's go outside and smoke a cigarette. Let's chill. Like,
dope.
Who cares?
That's dope, yeah. Right? I just had Maul on, and he said a lot about Joe. And his business practices and things like that. How do you feel about how Joe has ran his business over the years?
Well, seems like it could leave a little bit to be desired. I mean, Maul and Rory walked out of there pretty unhappy. And I definitely felt like watching that play out made me do a lot of thinking about what I was going to have to do in order to keep No Jumper solid, you know? And I feel like the biggest shit that it seems like Maul and Rory were unhappy about was basically the lack of transparency, the fact that they didn't feel like they had like full access to like what they were being paid or how they should be being paid, et cetera. And like, you know, that shit is super insulting to a creative for sure. Yes. Like, you know, like everybody, even if you are a 1% partner in a business and you're making way less than everybody else involved, it's like, you still want to know what the fuck your 1% looks like. That's just like being a human being, being a man. Yeah, you want to know what you're, you know.
Sure.
And so, I mean, with that, I feel like that's super understandable. And that's a big part of why I always try to approach everybody on the team about money, about whatever. Like, let's just be super straight up with each other.
Right.
So, and I think that it just involves being very, very human. Like, when we're in the group chat, and sometimes there'll be a big fucking argument going on in the morning, or somebody will be saying something crazy that I don't like, I don't agree with. I got to take a breath and think, I'm not going to dive in right here and say shit that I can't take back, or say the wildest shit that I could think of in my head, the meanest shit that I could think of that's going to hurt somebody's feelings, whatever. It's like, no, I gotta like try to be the grown up in the room more often than not. And yes, I gotta stand on my shit, and if I really feel a certain type of way. But one thing that I've gotten a lot better at is like, if I got a problem with somebody in the group chat, well, I'm gonna fucking text them separately.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna do it in front of an audience in the group chat, because I feel like that's a lot. Like if AD said something, or also I try to really like, okay, last night there was a bunch of people saying, oh, AD said this and that about you on stream, and he's being messy and he's being disloyal, yada, yada, and I'm starting to see it, and I'm starting to, I'm starting to feel like, what the fuck this motherfucker say? And I even thought about texting him before I fucking watched
even knew it.
And then I hop on YouTube and I watch the full 35-minute video, and I'm like, nothing. It's like there's like one moment in the whole thing, and it wasn't even something he said, where I was like, I didn't like that one thing.
Right, right, right.
But it's also like, you know, and I owe him that. to not just jump on the narrative.
For sure, that's
you know,
your guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and but see, sometimes that's
it's
pressure.
Easy to just believe the comment section before pressure. You even dig in.
Man, that's pressure, brother.
Because it takes you 2 minutes to read 100 comments, and it'll take you an hour or 2 hours to watch a full podcast.
Yeah,
right?
You say you know? His perspective. Say, hey, man, who you talking about like that? Right. You run with that, right? Yeah. I remember you said because in over there with Joe that Joe was hard to work with. You believe that?
I mean, it would appear from like the way that things went with Spotify that he was not maybe the easiest person to work with that. When you see how the complex thing went down. I mean, there's just a lot of different type of people in terms of business. Joe's somebody who he sees what's going on. He's paying very close attention. He's extremely aware of what he thinks he's worth, even if sometimes he's kind of like maybe exaggerating what he's worth, you know? And it's like with the complex shit, fuck, I forget the exact numbers, but I think it was something like, Ack was getting like maybe they were both getting like 10 or 20,000 a month. I wish I could remember the exact things. And Ack was chilling. Ack wasn't like asking for more money, even though like the shit was going pretty good on Complex, right? When they were doing the Everyday Struggle thing.
It was popping.
And Joe pretty much was like, I want, you know, 2-3 times as much, and I want like this percentage ownership or whatever of the brand partnerships. Like, you know, if they got a Nike deal, he wanted to have part of it. And I wish I could remember the exact numbers.
Right.
But, you know, then in comparison, Ack was kind of just like looking at it a different way where he was thinking, I'm on Complex. I'm getting my face out there more. This was like earlier in his career. He's thinking, I'm going to just rock out with this for a couple of years. And I'm not necessarily thinking about like demanding the most money right away. It didn't take Joe very long to be like, yo, I want a lot more money.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I respect Joe doing that.
He was starving, though.
And then at the same time, when you think of Ack, it's like Ack's kind of like seeing the value of building a relationship with Complex long term. Yeah. And he's
Ack wasn't starving. Ack come in with the YouTube money.
You know?
Joe starving, push up with the star.
His money might not have been great
man,
at that
I
moment.
Man, I know it wasn't great, man.
He's kind of said that. Yeah, he's kind of said that it was
what,
a little,
So that's just what it is.
So it's two different ways to approach it, you know? And I'm like that too, where it's like, listen, I could get brand deals all day for, let's say $10,000. And then I could also be like, no, I'm not doing a brand deal unless I get 30,000.
Right.
And then maybe I only get to do a couple of brand deals here and there, right?
You instead know, instead of piping the business up.
Yeah, or you could just kind of like keep your rate a little bit more moderate and just keep getting to do the shit, you know? It's right. Very much a decision for each person, I think.
So when you think that when you say Joe was hard to work with, what do you say to people who say you're hard to work with? Because I've seen what
I ain't worked with nobody.
Well, I've seen what they're saying that you have an issue with people speaking about what happens on the compound or here at No Jumper on their streams. I would identify that as being overzealous.
No,
overreaching.
The thing I was doing there was really just trying to, because okay, one thing about my platform that's different than a lot of platforms is if you look at something like Barstool Sports, they will give you a deal. They'll say, here's your check for the year or for the month or whatever, and this is how much money you're getting, and you're doing content, you're doing this podcast with us, and you ain't really doing anything else outside of this. Like you could do whatever the fuck you want, but you can't really be on camera outside of this, right? So my thing was, from when we started this, I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm gonna lock AD up in a contract, I'm gonna lock T-Rell up in a contract so that they can't do shit outside of there. So as a result, a lot of them have started their own streams and shit, and some of them are having real success, some of them it's kind of whatever, but like damn near like half the hosts on the platform, probably more than half, and a bunch of people who work here, they all got their own different thing. And to me, I don't really see a stream or a podcast as being all that different from having your own Instagram or having a TikTok or whatever the fuck it is. So that's not something that I've felt the need to be like extremely controlling about. But the one thing that I brought up was basically that I felt like a lot of people on our team were kind of like taking the incentives that are right there of, oh, you can make content about your friends and talk shit about your friends and fucking get into messy ass shit about your friends. And they were letting that get in the way of them just being good friends. And I brought an example to the table. I said, like, listen, look at all the crews that we look at in hip hop that we respect how they move. I'm going to bring up TDE as an example. I feel like probably over the years, there's been some times where Kendrick had some animosity towards somebody on the team, or Schoolboy Q not getting along with somebody, or the manager at the, you know, they're not getting along. There's shit going on behind the scenes, right?
Right.
I'm sure. I don't even need somebody to tell me. I just know that there's been drama.
Makes sense.
We don't know about it. Fucking QC, Migos, whatever. There's crazy amounts of shit going on behind the scenes.
That's my brother.
For sure. But I mean, even just the Migos alone. I mean, clearly there's been, and rest in peace, Takeoff. But clearly before
RIP Takeoff, I'm sorry. RIP Takeoff.
Rest in peace to Takeoff.
RIP, brother.
But before all that, even, I mean, clearly there was drama going on. We didn't know about it because they're not coming out and talking about it. I was just telling my team, I want us to move more like that. If you have a problem with me, come talk to me. Don't go on the stream and say, oh, I think Adam kind of might be doing this. Even if you feel like you're kind of joking or you feel like it's for content, it's funny or whatever. It's like, and there's a lot of stuff that they could talk about with me that I don't give two fucks. But when it's stuff that kind of gets a little bit serious.
So like, it ain't the fact that they're making content. It's the that it's the stirring of the pot that you're saying.
Right. I feel like if anything, I deserve a lot of credit for being so open-minded and telling them to go get their money. Last night I was on T-Rell's stream with him and his girl and his homie Smack for 3 hours.
That's so dope.
Just went, pulled up, supported
That's
them,
dope.
Did the whole thing.
That's dope.
Yeah, just because I fuck with him doing his own thing.
That's
and
dope,
I want to support that. So I don't like, my only thing about it was that sometimes I got to jump in there and be like, listen, we ain't moving right.
And I can get that.
Or Schoolboy Q, now granted, like they all got enough money. They ain't really incentivized by shit. But I mean, they know they could be in the headlines. They know they could have some viral YouTube clips if they were talking shit about each other, but they don't do it.
Right.
You know, Quavo could have had a 5 million view YouTube video if he wanted to make a video saying, this is why me and Offset don't get along.
Yeah.
But they don't do it. That's what I was saying to my team is like, let's move more as a unit. And like, and there's been a lot of stuff like that, even where I've told people like, hey, I can't really fuck with you if you fucking with this person that I look at as an op. And we have a real conversation about it and we decide that we're going to move differently. We're going to not... We're not going to like just go fuck with different people that we don't fuck with. We got to like move a little bit differently, or at least that's how I want to move as a unit, you know?
Yeah.
Because the truth is that I could get a lot of fucking views talking about everybody else's drama.
That is for sure.
We're going to get less drama. We're going to have less views talking about each other because a lot of us are not as huge people, right?
You may get less, but they may get.
Yeah,
and that's where it becomes unfair, right? And
right.
I wonder, why don't you feel like it's a workaround, like it's a marketing tool? Why do you feel like it stops there, right? That narrative doesn't continue to bring those viewers back to No Jumper. Is there any credence to that? You lend any credence to the workaround?
But see, that's the thing, is that bringing viewers to No Jumper is cool and everything, but ultimately I think us moving in a respectable way is a lot more important.
And that's your right to say.
Because we have to ignore the incentives. Because like, think about what my
that's
life
dope.
Would be like if I just followed the incentives.
That's dope. That's good game.
If I follow the incentives, listen, maybe this interview comes out and I think to myself, you know what, I can get 1 million views, I'm gonna make a YouTube video saying fuck this dude. Like that really might work,
yeah,
but I'm a piece of shit if I do that, you know.
Sure.
If I got a problem with you, I should call you or text you or whatever the fuck it is, you know.
Sure.
So it's like, that's one thing I think a lot of people sometimes who get into rap or have a hard time, or get into making content about rap or whatever, sometimes have a hard time realizing is like, give up the short-term value for the long-term brand building of being
that.
A good
man,
person.
That's good game.
You know?
That's good game, man.
Yeah.
They need to soak that up.
Right.
I appreciate you, man. I'm coming by. I know you're a busy man, you know. So another episode, man. It's up there, podcast. Get that game. Do something with it, Adam 22. Just get it.
Appreciate you, man. Good times. Yeah.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh,
Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.